To me, less than the least of all saints, has this grace been given to announce among the nations the gospel of the unsearchable riches of the Christ. So it says, to me, less than the least of all the saints, has this grace been given to announce among the nations the gospel of the unsearchable riches of the Christ. Let's pray together. Lord, we continue to worship you. We continue to behold you. Lord, fill this place continually right now with the riches of your word and your grace. Bring us into a discovery of some of these unsearchable riches of Christ right now. Lord, we look to you. Fill our hearts. Fill this time, Lord. We pursue after you right now. In Jesus' name, amen. So I imagine some of us, when we read this verse, we notice something different. Like I might notice when I read that he has been given grace to announce the gospel to the nations. I might notice that. And I know especially I did notice that my first times reading the book of Ephesians. And I see that he's called to preach the gospel. And this is just part of his package. Now, almost all the verses afterwards that talk about this mystery, all this mystery that we're talking about this weekend, those remained a mystery to me probably many times reading the book of Ephesians. But I saw this, and sometimes when you read this, you notice, like, grace was given to preach the gospel. But you might also notice somebody in here, you know, you might be reading this, and especially gearing up for this weekend and thinking of the purpose from the ages or this mystery that's revealed in this time period. This thing that God's had on his heart from eternity. This is the type of stuff we're talking about this weekend. And you notice this phrase, which is all glorious, the unsearchable riches of the Christ. As you read and you notice that, you're just like, there's some riches of Christ that you haven't searched out yet. There's some riches of Christ that are meant to be searched out. Now, they're unsearchable doesn't mean they can't be searched. It means, like, they're inexhaustible. You don't search and find the riches of Christ and you've got all of the riches of Christ. You actually keep searching and you find more of the riches of Christ. And those who have been saved and have been saved for a minute and then been saved for a week and then been saved for some years, you keep discovering this riches of his grace. More and more, these discoveries keep coming to us, and it's like the more we see of Christ, the more we see that I'm just getting to know him. It's why a very mature believer, like the Apostle Paul, could say in Philippians 3, I want to know him. Like, he's in a pursuit. And he said, I know not all of you have this pursuit, but whoever's mature, like, think this way. Pursue after this. You're toward a goal. You're for a prize of a calling. But you're actually after knowing Christ. So whatever things used to be gained to you, it's easy to drop them. It's easy to consider them like they're nothing because you found Christ and you found that you can find more of him. So I want to know him. Even though I do know him, like I'm after more of him. So there's a richness of Christ that those who have been born again have found. The riches of his grace have come upon you. And we'll read some scriptures where we see how part of these riches are like his redemption with his blood, or some of these riches are just how we've been accepted in the beloved. Or there's so many riches, like if we sit around together, just telling from people's singing voices tonight, there's some riches of Christ that we've discovered that enables us to like praise him and say that he's worthy of everything. And some of the riches that you've discovered, others in this room haven't discovered yet. And this is part of the richness in the Christ, is that in the body of Christ, he deposits his riches in a variety of ways. And then he releases them through one member of the body and then another one. And some of our discovery of the riches of Christ happens through other believers. It happens when we are fellowshipping with each other. So even our fellowship with each other, it actually turns into, I want to know the Lord. And then I start talking with a brother or with a sister, and then I find the Lord in that person. And some of the riches are like grand enlightenment discoveries. of revelation, light bulbs that click, scriptures that get opened up, and you've never seen it like that before. And you just sit back and you're just like, whoa, Christ is amazing. And some of the riches are like your feet hit the ground and it's time to do something. And through tears and cross and hardship, you experience the Lord's grace bringing you through the roughest time, when you barely had a moment to open up your Bible or do all the disciplines that you know you really want to do and all of that stuff. But somehow in that time period, as God carries you through, you know, a lot of the broken moms know about this. Like God somehow carries them through. And what we all see on the other side of it in this time period where they seem to have no time, and they're just hanging on to some word that they had 5 years ago or something, some richness of Christ starts to shine through these sisters. And it happens with all of us, though, as we go through different things. Like, we discover some riches of Christ. Now, something I'm not expecting, though, and actually a few others talked to me about this, that as we're reading these passages, even as we were preparing for this weekend, something that's unexpected is to see some of this like all jumbled up together. Like, you don't expect the verses right before he gets into grand things of the purpose of the ages to be such a simple thing, like talking about how there's no division anymore with the Jews or Gentiles, and so he's able to actually share to those Gentiles this glorious gospel of the unsearchable riches of Christ. And let me just read what happens after this. So he's bringing me there, and I'm totally following him along as I'm in Ephesians 3, as I'm all about like preaching the gospel to unsaved souls. But then it's like with this gospel preacher, Paul, as he's talking about it, he doesn't just say like to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. It's like the gospel of the unsearchable riches of Christ. So I'm at the end of verse 8. To enlighten all, this is verse 9, to enlighten all with the knowledge of what's the administration of the mystery hidden throughout the ages in God. He's created all things in order that now to the principalities and authorities and the heavenlies might be made known through the church the all various wisdom of God according to the purpose of the ages. This is like the grandest possible things that you can even ever hear about. This purpose of the ages, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, and so on he goes. It's like an explosion. As soon as he touched the unsearchable riches of Christ, it's like he took a step back and he's like, he sees from the past this purpose from eternity before anything ever started. And actually all of this purpose, which he purposed in Christ, which is now revealed, this mystery is unloaded and the secret that's been kept in God's heart all through the ages, now that Christ showed up, the secret is made known to us. And this huge package of basically everything that matters in the universe is included as he announces the gospel to the Gentiles, to the nations, as he announces the gospel to anybody. As the gospel is preached, he's not just preaching a basic beginning part or section or doctrine of Christian understanding or even Christian practice or even Christian discovery. It's not just to get you started so then you can grow into really big things that matter. In this guy's point of view, in the scripture's way of phrasing it, it's different than how I've always thought of it. It's just different. It's different. It's like what he's actually preaching is this package of Christ. I mean, and this is all throughout the scripture where, like in the book of Acts, sometimes it says they preached the gospel. Sometimes it says, like Philip the Evangelist, he preached Christ to them. But as they're preaching Christ, and as someone's receiving Christ, they're receiving the good news. They're believing some basic understanding of what Christ has done on the cross. They're believing in his resurrection. They're repenting. They're having their sins forgiven. But actually what's happening, if you see it from God's point of view, if you see what's actually happening, not what we know about what's happening when we get saved, but if you see what's actually happening, Christ is being received by this soul, by this person. And as Christ is received, he is unsearchable. There's riches that come with Christ that you don't even know about. I don't know what you all knew about when you got saved, but it's like you actually received so much when you got saved. It's like an explosion that happens inside of us, but it just slowly unravels. So when this is shared, it's not that later after you've received that seed of the gospel, now we need to bring in a new seed of some help to bring you to grow as a disciple, or a new seed to bring in some extra good news that have to do with you walking as a Christian and overcoming your sins. And then some new like good teaching or word of God that's like, let me tell you what God cares about in creation. Let me tell you about his eternal purpose. Let me tell you why he even made the universe. Instead, all of these things are actually embedded right at the very beginning. And as you announce the gospel, the whole package is received right there. Not the whole package is understood, but it's all there because the whole thing is in Christ. Even the purpose that he purposed from eternity past, from the ages, before he started the creation, before he created the heavens and the earth, he purposed a purpose in Christ, though. The reason it's purposed in Christ is so that way wherever Christ shows up, the whole thing is actually right there. Now, we're going to see this as we go through some scriptures, but I just want to say, like, hallelujah. And also say, like, I haven't known this. I've just been like a brand new, like a student of the Lord, just like making a brand new discovery. And I just want to, in all excitement and joy, let you know, like, this stuff is so wonderful. And in my case, especially, you know, when I got saved, I was saved while I was learning how to preach the gospel. So I was reading a tract that I was training, and I was going to learn how to share this tract with unsaved people. But I wasn't saved yet, and so while I was training, I got saved. And then after I got saved, I told some people, and then I told some more, and then some others got saved. And I just got to tell you, like, it was so exciting just to see other souls saved. It became like the biggest, besides my own salvation, it was like the biggest joy in the world. And it was what was reality to me. I was like, this is something. And it's always been something there. It's always been like, I know sometimes when Christians get saved, depending on your environment, you may just not be around like gospel preaching much. And it wasn't that I was around it much. It was just like, it was just so exciting. It was just so exciting when someone got saved. And then so I got my hands on every book I could on gospel preaching. But I can tell you, I never read anything that talked about preaching the gospel of the unsearchable riches of Christ. And it's okay that I've never read that, because whatever everybody was talking about was actually preaching the gospel of the unsearchable riches of Christ. There's no separate thing, even though all of us were dummies, even though I was a total dummy, and I'm just teaching you, like, let me give you some ABCs, let me give you some John 3:16 diagrams and some Roman roads. Like, what was actually happening, though, as people were receiving Christ, was an explosion of some unsearchable richness that's found in Christ. And that life, as you've seen with some that become Christians, it starts to grow and things just change, even despite us, even despite our failures in helping people. And it's not, and also, so a struggle that I've had because my heart has been to preach the gospel has been that I haven't preached the gospel. And a repentance, I think I've repented. I feel like, I mean, I don't know. I just feel like I've repented more than anybody I know of not preaching the gospel. I feel like I'm the king of repenting, of not preaching the gospel. I'm the king of not preaching the gospel. And it's like the Lord's always bringing it back to me in different ways. And then when I saw something more, and I saw like just a growth of the gospel where it's like Christ is not only my Savior, but Christ is saving me from my sin problem. And he's like delivering me so I can walk with the Lord. I can actually overcome sins. It was just that the good news just got gooder. It wasn't that I had to stop preaching the good news. It was like, I'm sharing with an unbeliever. I'm just like, and it's so good that you can actually stop sinning. And it's so good that, I'm just like, it's okay. Because whatever's fresh upon you, if it's Christ and you just discovered Christ, sometimes you can just accidentally share that with an unbeliever. You know what I mean? Like it's totally okay to just share the bare bones. Like Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, he's just like, I shared the gospel with you. And it was like, Jesus died on the cross. And Jesus was buried. And Jesus rose from the dead. And then he showed up and appeared to a lot of people. That's just so basic and amazing. And it's actually unsearchable. And it's just, there's so much. And now, if you've walked with the Lord some, you just know, like, it means more than you thought it meant that he died on the cross. It means more than you thought it meant that he rose from the dead. It means more than we thought it meant that he ascended. Like, there's so many layers on top of this, and now it has actually changed my whole walk in my life because he rose from the dead. Like, I've risen from the dead, and I've got resurrection life. So even like in a book of Romans, where he's just saying, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you guys who are in Rome, and then he just goes ahead and unloads it as he's writing this letter. He does share what we would say is like, this is the gospel, and he's letting everybody know how they've sinned, and it's impossible. You know, no one's just done everything right. Everyone's fallen short of the glory of God. But then there's this salvation. Then there's this being justified freely just by believing on the Lord Jesus. And then, so here's the good news. But then he just keeps on going. And on top of Jesus dying on the cross for you, he keeps on going. And it's like, and now your old man is crucified. By the time you get to chapter 6, he's just like, you've got more embedded in the riches of Christ in this gospel that you've received. So he's not even telling them, like, let me add something to your salvation and your baptism. He just says in Romans 6, he's just like, don't you remember that you got baptized? And everyone who's been baptized, don't you know when you were buried, you were identified with Christ? And if you've been identified with him in his death and his burial, it's also in his resurrection. So you've got a brand new life. So you shouldn't go on sinning so grace would abound, because now your life is different. Now, that is something more. That's something like of the riches of his grace that's larger than what we typically would discover as we're first just getting overwhelmed by the riches of his grace that like forgives me of my sins and I'm not going to hell and I just got born again and now I want to tell everybody about that. But then as the gospel keeps unfolding, it's just like more and more. All right, I'm not supposed to talk about that. Okay, so one of these verses, like this is one of my favorite verses that I would notice back in the day in Ephesians 1. So this is something I would notice because I'm all about getting saved and I'm all about my salvation because I'm just discovering it. And you got to know, I didn't get help that well. So even though I had my sins forgiven, my life was changed, I didn't know how to be cleansed as a believer. I didn't know how to just simply, like in 1 John 1, just like confess my sins as soon as they happen and be cleansed. Like we can be cleansed tonight as believers. If you're a believer in this room and there's something that's in your heart, you're just like, ah, I know I've been failing. I know I've been walking halfway. And as we get into this talk about Christ, I remember. And it's this simple because all the complexities and all the amazing backflips that had to happen, they've already happened on the cross. Everything that was impossible, it all happened on the cross. And so it's as simple as just confessing your sins. And so us believers, we can just confess our sins because God is faithful and righteous, because Jesus Christ, the righteous one, stands before the Father because he died for us. The Father sees us and he forgives us of our sins and he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So if you're a believer and you've got something going on right now, it is just like as simple as like, Lord, I'm sorry. This is a sin. And the blood of God's Son right now will wash you clean, as if you've never sinned. And all that riches of his forgiveness that you experienced when you got saved, it's all right back. You found Christ again. You're back in his presence. Now for me, when I first got saved, I didn't know this. So I needed like the time of worshiping tonight. I only occasionally found that. But whenever I found that, I was like, oh yes, I'm forgiven. Like I just got cleansed. I don't know how it happened. I just know I remembered Christ and I forgot about my sins and I repented a lot of times. I just didn't know how to just be cleansed though because of the word of God. So anyway, as I was saved and I got forgiven, this verse here in Ephesians 1, it's in verse 7. In whom, now he's talking about Christ. Actually, let me back up to verse 6, because in verse 6, there's this phrase where he says, we've been accepted in the beloved, or taken into favor in the beloved. This is an amazing thing. Now, I didn't catch this at the beginning, so you got to think that's like another layer of unpacking of Christ. So let me start at the beginning of a basic. But so verse 7 it said, in whom, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of offenses according to the riches of his grace. All right, so here we are at the bare bones basic. It's just like, yes, I have redemption through his blood. This is how we begin as believers. You've repented, you've believed, and the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ, has cleansed you from all of your sins. Whatever your Christian background is, like this is where it begins. You see something of Christ, and I knew something of the gospel, but I didn't know something of my own forgiveness, and then I found it. And I confessed my sins to the Lord personally, and my own sins became this experience. In Christ, I had redemption through his blood. And you could just think about this for a second. Like, it's just a hallelujah thing as well. Like, have you had redemption in his blood? This isn't like an old story. It's a current story. But at the same time, this is like the oldest story. So let me back up for a second. Because, all right, so this is like a gospel verse, right? Now, if you take one little step back, you take a step back of discovering of what you have in Christ, and you find out something like I read in verse 6, like we've been accepted in the beloved. We've been taken into favor in the beloved. And what you find is your salvation is actually found in Christ. It's kind of like if I knew the story of the prodigal son and how he's brought home and the father runs and he grabs him and he brings him home. It's almost like as you get enveloped by that robe, it's just like this. Like that father accepted him and you know he's dirty and you know he smells. And you know he's got all that pig stuff all on upon him. This is like from Luke 15. But as the father brings him in, he just wraps him in like that best robe in the house. And the fragrance of that robe has that fragrance of something that's pleasing to the Father. So he just sees him now all clean. And just like God the Father, he just kind of accepts us in his beloved Son. And when we are saved, we are brought into Christ. Our salvation is found there. But this is a riches of Christ that we discover. Maybe some of us discovered this when we were first saved. I think that's awesome. But a lot of us discovered getting saved. And then later on, we found out, where is my salvation? Because as you try to like please the Lord, and then you fail, and then somehow maybe you find your way back and you get cleansed. But eventually you find out, like, all of my salvation is not in some like spot inside of me. All of my salvation is embedded in Christ. And where the Father accepts me is not because I did well today. It's because Christ is accepted. It's because Christ is the beloved. Now, my job as a believer, my response as a believer is just to hide myself in Christ. Everything's okay then. So yeah, if I sin, I need to confess those sins because they actually step me into the mud outside of Christ. I step outside of the fellowship. I don't step outside of my salvation. It just kind of brings me like I'm in Christ, but I can't see him because I'm covered in mud of sin. So I just like repent. And I'm just like, I'm not supposed to be in the mud. This is sin. This isn't right. And then suddenly the mud is like all washed clean because I'm surrounded with Christ because the blood just cleansed me. And I realize like, whoa, I'm in my salvation, which is Christ. And then there's like all these riches to discover. So a lot of the stuff that we discover, even with like, I'm just as if I never sinned. Like somebody teaches me or taught me, somebody taught me like, you're justified now. You're like, you're right before God. I was like, oh, you don't know. And they're like, you're right before God because you're accepted in the beloved. All right, now, I'm not trying to preach the gospel tonight, but I just love to preach the gospel to believers too. Because actually, even when we say small stuff that you think is small, that we think is small, do you know whatever we're saying is the unsearchable riches of Christ? So I'm telling you guys right now, we have more to discover about being accepted in the beloved. If we all just step back in our chairs for a moment, and realize for a moment, like, God has totally accepted me in Christ right now. How has he done this? How does he smile at me? He sees Christ. He's placed eternal life inside of me, but he's also placed me in eternity in Christ. Like, if we just step back for a moment, I think there's some riches for us to glean, both in discovery and also in our experiences. There's something going on in our hearts where we feel like something's missing. Something's wrong. And the Lord's almost trying to draw us back to like, that's not where I'm going to accept you. I'm not going to accept you over here or over there. You are already accepted in the beloved. There's just so much more. All right, but let me take another step back. So if we go back, like actually in verse 3, you know, in Ephesians 1, he begins like his letters. He's just like, he's Paul. He's an apostle by God's will. He's writing to the Ephesians. And verse 3, he just starts out praising the Lord, like, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. Like, do you see what's going on with this guy? He has found the unsearchable riches of Christ. He's just like, and he says all of us have been blessed with all of these blessings. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. This is a guy who knows, like, we've got something here in the Beloved, and it's everything. Like, he has blessed us with every single spiritual blessing. There's a lot of spiritual blessings out there, and a lot of us are hungry for them, and we're after them. But where are they? He has already blessed us. When you got that package of the gospel, the unsearchable riches of Christ come with that. And then you're surrounded with the Beloved, and you're just like, this is his, this guy. He's just like, he has already blessed us with every spiritual blessings. You just have to find them. You just have to search them out. These unsearchable riches, like, this is something to be mining, some gold to be discovering with all of us. This is an adventure that we are on together. And all these blessings that he's blessed us with in the Christ, it's like embedded in the church and different soul and different believers too. So some of the blessing that's a spiritual blessing to you is going to come from another believer who God will use to bring a blessing to you. And then this riches of Christ is part of his saints too. It's the riches of the Christ. It's like this largeness of Christ with the body of Christ. And he's like blessing us in all these different ways. And suddenly you're surrounded with the Beloved, not just in the heavenlies, in the Beloved, but he's brought the heavenlies down upon the church. And you are surrounded with the Beloved right now because Christ is in the believers. The life of Christ is hidden in these saints. And even though sometimes we see each other in the other way. We see each other when we step outside of Christ. We see each other walk in our flesh or our carnality. But there's gold inside of there. There's Christ inside of there. And we're called, like it says in 2 Corinthians 5, like, we're called to not know each other after the flesh. If anyone's in Christ, there's a new creation. All that old has passed away, and behold, everything is brand new. So if you're in Christ, if you've been accepted in the Beloved, you're part of this new creation. And in this new creation in Christ, every single thing that God's after is actually inside of this spot, in this package. Now, this is the new creation. So if you get to the end of the Bible, there's like a new heavens and a new earth. Everything's been immersed by fire, but it's not just normal fire. It's like the fire of having to go through Christ. The cross has crossed out all the old creation. All the new creation. If anyone's in Christ, there's a new creation. You start to discover the new heavens and the new earth. They all sum up together, and all the universe shines Christ. There's the glory of the Lord upon the new creation at the very end. And then you see this new Jerusalem coming down. And it's not only shining Christ, like super shining Christ. It's like the body of Christ, the house of God. It's the temple of God. It's just something amazing. This is the new creation. And if you're in Christ, this is your spot. This is our sweet spot. And everything that God's ever doing in the universe, that he's purposing to, that he's going toward in the new creation, it's all here where we've been brought. Okay, now I haven't even got to the cool verses in Ephesians 1 where it's like talking about his eternal purpose. So the next thing is like, according, this is verse 4. According as he has chosen us, just check out these words real quick. As he has chosen us in him before the world's foundation, that we should be holy and blameless in love in him. That we should be holy and blameless before him in love. So he actually chose us. When did he choose us? Before the world's foundation. So the spiritual blessings in the heavenlies that all of us have 100% in Christ that God the Father has blessed us with, it's according to a plan that he had before he founded the earth. Before he started the creation, you know, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But before that, he actually purposed something. And in his purpose, he wanted to bring us into something. He chose us before he started creation. He chose us where? He chose us in him before the world's foundation. Like, this is just straight scripture. I'm not just making this up. Like, I just don't always notice this. You know what I notice? I notice, like, verse 7. Like, I have redemption in his blood. Because, like, so much of what I'm looking at is like, what do I got? What do I got? What do I got? And because of that, what I'm missing is, like, what do I really got? And not only that, like, what about from God's perspective? From God's viewpoint, you have no idea. He like knew your name before he said heavens and earth get created. Before he started doing that, before he started to speak and create, he like had this thought. He had this idea and he decided something and he chose you. Now, you know that you've chosen him. As you got saved, you had to choose Christ. You had to call on his name, however you did it. Whatever you prayed, there's a choosing that goes on. But as you take a step back and you look around you in Christ, you're like, whoa, 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 whoa. Before the world was founded, he actually chose me in Christ. He knew all this stuff that was going to happen. So this is what happens. And he not only chose me just to get out of hell, he chose me to be blameless. That just seems impossible, except if I'm accepted in the Beloved, except if he clothes me with Christ. To be holy and blameless in Christ, in love, like this love that I've received, now the whole response happens this way. Okay, another verse. 5. He marked us out ahead of time for adoption through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about his will, the good pleasure of his will. This is just like what God actually wanted to do. This isn't like, okay, he's a righteous God, so his decision is going to always be right. Before there was anything to even be right about as far as creatures goes, he had a pleasure in mind. He had something that he actually wanted, something that was just the good pleasure of his will. And that has to do with you and me. It's crazy to think about this, but according to the good pleasure of his will, he actually marked you ahead of time. Like, how far ahead of time? He actually chose you before the world's foundation. So when he, knowing your story, he knows what he's going to have to do. This is why the scripture says, like the Lord Jesus, he's like the lamb that's slain when the earth is founded. If God's going to decide to create, and he's going to create man, he knows that the cross is going to have to happen. Just having foreknowledge, just understanding what's going to happen, God sees this, but he does it. And he marked you out ahead of time. I'm not trying to get into like, okay, how do I understand how God could do this? It's not like that. It's more like, we're part of something huge, like the largest thing in the universe. Actually, it's larger than the universe because it includes the spiritual things that's out there. It includes the physical things of the universe. The heavens and the earth are created, but it includes something larger. It includes the good pleasure of God's heart. There's something on his heart, and then he creates. But that something on his heart is like, I want you to be brought into Christ, and he's going to do something that's all glorious. So this is his will. Like, this is this package of the gospel of the unsearchable riches of Christ that we have received. This package of the unsearchable riches of Christ goes way back to eternity. It actually shows up before the earth was founded. God embedded all these riches in Christ. You know, when before Jesus was crucified, even while he's alive on the earth, there's so many things pointing to he's going to the cross. But even like the first gospel messages, as John the Baptist is preaching the gospel and Jesus walks by, you know what he says? He's like, there's the Lamb of God who's come to take away the sins of the world. Like, even then, it's like, it's all pointing to what's going to happen at the cross anyway. And all those Old Testament prophecies about the cross that we might have discovered, these riches that we've discovered, you can just see how God has had this plan all along the way. He's known what he's going to have to do. So at the fullness of time, some point in time when the cross happened, he could go all the way back in time, and all those blood sacrifices of animals, they all add up and they point right to the cross. So like it says in Romans 3, God's able to, through his forbearance, he was able to save them. He was able to cleanse them by the blood of animals because they all pointed to the cross. God was just in doing this because of that fullness of time moment. And now, with us believing back on the Lord Jesus, he's able to save us and justify us. All right, so this is something very large here. And then we get to verse 6. To the praise, this is us getting saved, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has taken us into favor in the Beloved. All right, but now comes the verse that I read. He's taken us into favor in the Beloved, and now in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of offenses, according to the riches of his grace. You know how we're discovering the riches of Christ? But actually, the first riches of his grace that come to us is like the redemption, and the blood comes, and then we are accepted into favor in the Beloved. And then, just again, the overflow of his comment is, according to the riches of his grace, which he has caused to abound toward us in all wisdom and intelligence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, for the administration of the fullness of times, to sum up all things in Christ, the things in the heavens and the things upon the earth. Okay, I've got to stop because I got to get somewhere. But it's kind of like this. It's like, then you start to read, and this package opens up. And suddenly it's like there's a mystery of his purpose. And at the fullness of times, he's doing that mystery. He's accomplishing his purpose. And what he's after in the future, what he's doing with all of the, it says, the things in the heavens and the things on the earth, is he is summing them all up in Christ. This is just what God's after. You know, like I don't know where it's at. I think it's in Galatians, where he talks about like love is the sum of the whole law, right? So like to love one another. And it's the same kind of word, like to sum up all things in Christ. It's like, it's not that you add them all and they equal Christ. It's like with Christ comes like all that stuff. He is like the summation of it all. So sometimes with the grace, the riches of his grace, it's like you start to discover some parts. And I was thinking of it earlier, like kid puzzles, and the kid puzzles are better than adult puzzles. Because adult puzzles become a mess and you lose them all. But kid puzzles have a board. You know what I'm talking about? And then you put the pieces on the board somewhere and it kind of holds them together. Anyway, I was just thinking how like there's these pieces that we keep mining and discovering as we search out the unsearchable riches of Christ. And I've got this piece of the blood. I've got this piece of like his life that can live through me, and I can overcome my sins. I got this piece of like, well, like God has something larger than just me. He has something for all creation in the New Jerusalem. Like I remember just not even that long ago, I was like studying the New Jerusalem, and I don't know why I never saw this, but I was like, dude, there's angels in the New Jerusalem. Like right at all the gates, there's an angel everywhere. It's like God's doing something larger than even humans. Like anyway, it's just really, really, there's all this stuff. So it's almost like there are all these puzzle pieces. And unfortunately, among us Christians, as we grab puzzle pieces, we huddle together with everyone who has some similar puzzle pieces. Or maybe your puzzle pieces kind of connect with my puzzle pieces, and like that's my kind of believer. But it's just like, if we put the puzzle pieces on the board where they go, and you start finding them fall in this place, God's purpose from all eternity past is not one of these puzzle pieces. It's actually like that board that holds all the puzzle pieces. This thing that he does to unite us is he unites us under the headship of Christ. And that's the only sweet spot where we can all hang out. You've discovered something I've never discovered. And if we had to talk it out in our flesh, we might argue. But if you've really discovered the riches of Christ, I want to find it. Even if you're half wrong, you're half right. You're half Christ. You know what I mean? Like there's a riches there. Now, how can we do this? On that board, where God has purposed everything, it's all Christ. This is why in 1 Corinthians 3, Paul's like talking about, like, see how you build in the church and everything. But he's like, actually, as a wise architect, I laid a foundation for the church there. And no one can move this foundation. It is Christ. He is a solid rock. Like, this is the sweet spot where all of our goods that we're finding of Christ, they all show up on Christ. So in that spot, you can see how he can do something glorious with the church and even with us. And how he can get us out of our petty stuff. Now he can bring us into something higher and better. But it's all there. It's like when we get into God's will from the ages, we're not adding a new teaching in here. We're not adding something that dismisses any of the treasures that you found in Christ. All we're talking about is there's some unsearchable riches of Christ. And what we found is just the beginning. All we're talking about is from God's perspective, there's something larger than any of us knows about. And we want to mine that thing. We want to discover that thing and see it. Sometimes we see a glimpse and you're like, it's life-changing. If there's any kind of insight of Christ changes your life, no matter how it happens. But the more you see of the Christ and of something there, it's like, it does affect how you walk. So like, for example, I was talking about preaching the gospel and how this verse in Ephesians 3 is almost like it should be a conflict. Like on one chapter or in another book of the Bible, he could talk about, I want to preach the gospel to the nations. But in Ephesians, as he's talking about the mystery of God's will and the purpose from the ages and all this stuff, he should just be like huddling together with the believers talking about this. Not saying, I am preaching the gospel of the unsearchable riches of Christ. These just shouldn't be together, but they're together. Because that piece of announcing the glad tidings, it is just like, it's part of this whole package. Actually, I'm not even sure if it's a puzzle piece. It's almost like this, like as you stand and you're seeing this whole thing of what God's doing and his whole purpose for all things. And if you can imagine and squint your eyes and just imagine the little bit of riches that you've heard about from other people. Or if you think of all the Christians that see something that you don't quite see, just imagine that they're actually treasures, embedded treasures. If you see all of that, preaching, announcing the Christ is like letting God's purpose flow through us. It's just like a glorious experience of the purpose of God flowing in us and flowing out of us, because it's the Christ. And so, because when you announce the Christ, you're not announcing your limited knowledge about God. You're announcing the unsearchable riches of Christ. Because when we preach the gospel, we share the life of Christ with someone. That is beyond you. It's beyond what you know about. But you've got it because it's in Christ. This is just a glorious thing. Like, what you've got is something you don't even know what you've got. And as you preach it, as you share the unsearchable riches of Christ, it's like, you don't even know, but you just gave them something way beyond what you've ever discovered, because you just shared Christ. And embedded in the Christ is all of his purpose, all of the new creation, everything that he's got. It's all right there. So as you announce Christ, even to an unbeliever, it doesn't matter that they're not saved. Like, you're sharing Christ. And of course to a believer. Of course to a believer. I mean, that's what he's doing in the book of Ephesians. He's announcing more and more of all this. So as we share with one another Christ, we're sharing the life of Christ. And it's like an explosion of something more than what you've even got. Have you ever talked to somebody who walked away from a halfway bad message? And they're just like, whoa, did you hear that? Have you ever done that? I don't know. Sometimes, I shouldn't say this, but sometimes you endure a message and you're like, maybe I can get something out of this. But someone else is just like exploding with light bulbs and with life bulbs or whatever you call it. They're just like, they just found Christ. Now, I don't even know if it had to do with the message. But somehow what they received is like beyond what I was thinking came out in the message. And I think every time we preach the gospel, every time we share Christ with one another in fellowship, it's like this. Even if you do the best job you can do, and you're a broken, cracked vessel, a jar with treasure inside, but you're just a cracked jar of clay, but Christ comes through you, and it's all glorious. I'm just saying, what you know of the Christ going through you is wonderful, but it's limited because Christ is unsearchable. But what you share as you share Christ is the whole package. Like, hallelujah. Like, this is just so cool. Okay, another gospel verse in Ephesians 2. My favorite verse as I got saved was because it took me years to get saved, because I was trying to get saved by changing my life. So Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, these are pretty famous like verses you should know as a Christian. And it's just like, we are saved by grace through faith. And this is not something in ourselves. This isn't something like that you've done. This is the gift of God. It cannot be according to your works. It's not according to your works. So actually no one in the world can boast. Like, this is just a good gospel understanding. So now I discovered this. This is a treasure, a grace, a riches of Christ, a riches of his grace that you find. But then I remember the time when it came upon me, like, I was reading this and I read verse 10. I don't know if you guys have read verse 10. It's like a game changer. In verse 10, he's just like, it's the same stuff. And he still says good works, but he's like, it's not like you're saved by your good works, but he's like, but we've been created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand for us to walk in them. Now, what he's talking about now, if we back up the verses, I think I might not even have time to get into the other verses, but it's another one of those like explosions where you're like, I thought we were just talking about the basics of me getting saved by grace and not by my works, and it is true. But it's also like, when you get saved, God's creating you in Christ Jesus. You're actually now his workmanship. Remember, like, what he purposed in you was for you to be holy and blameless in Christ and his love. Like, his purpose actually is something so grand. So now that I'm saved by grace, not by any works, but what's going on is I'm in Christ Jesus. I'm created in Christ Jesus. So remember what's said in 2 Corinthians 5, like, if anyone's in Christ, there's a new creation. So this is what he's doing. As he's brought you into the new creation, he's creating Christ in you, layer upon layer, letting you discover the riches and riches and riches. And he's created you in Christ Jesus to do some good works. And these good works are not like brand new, like God's never thought of them. He's like, okay, today, you know, sometimes I've done a class with kids and I didn't know that I was going to be teaching the class. And so whatever I had for them to do, you know, I get thrown in, I'm like, All right, class, today we are, and then in the moment I make something up, and then we do something. And usually I do some filler icebreaker just to give me enough time to figure out what I'm doing. This is a terrible way to do kids' classes. These kids' classes tonight have been planned out beforehand. But not like God's beforehand. God's beforehand, as he marked you out beforehand, before the creation of the world, he had in mind some things for you to walk in, some good works for you to walk in. This just changes everything. It changes like, God, what's your will for me to do today? What's your will for me? Where do you want me to go to school? Where do you want me to work? Who do you want me to marry? What am I to do right now? What's your project for me? Like, take a step back and realize, like, God is creating me in Christ Jesus. He has this huge will of bringing in the new creation. That is like, Lord, I'm up for whatever small thing you want me to do. Because every small thing that he's created for you to do in Christ Jesus is part of his really large thing that he's doing. So now all the minor wills of God that we might discover, that we're trying to practice his will, we're trying to do his will, it's a bigger deal than you realize. It's also a bigger deal when you don't do the will of God. When you neglect the will of God and you delay the will of God, it's just like such a cut into the heart of God when we're not willing to do his will. So it just makes it that much more like wonderful and that much more like serious. Like, let me actually do this. You know, I never thought it was such a big deal to not do God's will because I could just repent and be forgiven. And especially with gospel preaching. You got to know I'm like so scared of people. So unsaved people are scaring me naturally. And so I just neglected. And then sometimes I did. If I felt good, if I ate the right meal, you know, and stuff like that, I just, all right, here we go. If I'm having a great day, I was like, by the way, you know, I would jump up on a picnic table and just tell everybody about Jesus. Because actually, I'm just in love with Jesus. So, but then other times, like, somebody's walking by and they're way cooler than me. I'm just like, and I feel this like kind of quiet voice in my heart, like, go ahead and talk to them. I was like, nah, Lord, not right now. Like, no, so many times. And then I was praying and the Lord brought to mind praying for my friends. And there was a work that he had prepared for me to do with my best friend that I grew up with, to go and share with him the gospel of the unsearchable riches of Christ. I didn't even know it was the unsearchable riches of Christ, but I knew some riches of his grace that I could share. I knew Christ. And he wanted me to share this. And so I'm like praying for him. I'm working up to it. I'm like, someday I'm going to go share with my friend. This is the scariest thing for me. And then I get the news. Months later, I've been praying. I've been working up. I've been training. But I keep feeling the Lord, like, go and share with your friend. And then I get the news, like, my friend died of a cocaine use or something. And my friend was dead. And this work that I super knew that God was calling me to walk in. I don't want to make this about evangelism. I'm making this more like, but this was a work that God, I felt he had prepared for me to walk in. I just got to tell you, when I saw my friend in the coffin, like, I can see him right now. I was just like, Lord, I just don't want to do this ever again. Like, I want to do your will. And at that time, I had no clue with God's largeness of will, how much this stuff really means. Now you think, like, all right, Jeffrey's good from there on. I just wasn't good from there on. And one more time with my grandmother, happened again. I know some of you guys might know this story, but same thing happened. And when I saw her, I was like, I just repented. I ended up in Memphis, Tennessee. Some of these guys here are from Memphis. And I did it again with just some random guy in a restaurant. And I felt nudged. And now, though, it was serious. I was like, I'm not doing this again. I need to stop being scared. So in Memphis, I started preaching the gospel every day, finding whoever I could find, talking to the police officers and every homeless person I could find. Every night, I would go share at least one time just to get over my fear. But all that I just wanted to say is, we have no idea how much it matters, what a privilege it is to do the will of God, and what a privilege it is to share the unsearchable riches of Christ with anybody. It is a privilege to share with believers. I think some of us have discovered this, but it is a glorious thing to unload the life of Christ to an unbeliever and watch that explosion of life happen, and they actually receive something more than what we have. Now, I want to turn to Romans 10 and just talk about this concept, because what we've been doing is looking at And maybe even on the surface, from my perspective, here's a salvation verse, but take a step back and see, what about from God's perspective? This has to do with his will, and it actually is bringing you into his will. But let's look at this perspective of like someone getting saved, but behind the scenes, what's actually happening with God? What's actually happening to bring all this about? So in Romans 10, he puts this wonderful scripture in Deuteronomy, where they're like, and he's just telling them, like, don't say who will ascend to, you know, to the heavens or who will descend to the abyss. And then he interprets it with the gospel. It's just all glorious. He's just like, who will ascend into the heavens? That's to bring Christ down. Because actually, don't say this. Who's going to do this to save us? Because he actually came down. The hard part is over with. And don't say like, who will bring something up from the abyss? Because he actually rose from the dead. But this is what the scripture says. The word is near you, in your heart and in your mouth. And then it says here in Romans 10:8, this is the word of faith which we preach. So this is our gospel message. And then verse 9, which you might have memorized, this is just like a great gospel verse to memorize. Some souls get saved, touch the good news with this gospel verse. But then if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. This is just in a sentence. Here's the gospel. This is the gospel that Paul might preach. This is just a gospel message that he might easily say. And he says, he goes on to explain, like, with your heart, you believe, and it's like righteous. Because like, it's a righteous thing for you to get saved and to be made right with God, because God found a righteous way when Christ was crucified and rose from the dead. When he died for your sins and he rose. So in your heart, you do believe that Jesus died on the cross and he rose. He was buried and he rose from the dead. So this is what makes it a right thing. But what makes it an actual salvation thing is that you open up your mouth and you say, Jesus is Lord. And so, and then it says in verse 10, like, but with the mouth, confession is made to salvation. There has to be like a stance or a step or a receiving or a confessing or a something with us. When we believe, it's almost like that salvation spot transition happens as we receive this glorious, unsearchable riches of Christ. It's just as simple as the words in our heart, and we believe, and our words in our mouth. We open our mouth and we say, Jesus is Lord. And suddenly we're saved. Like it says in verse 13, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is what's happening. You believe, but you also call out to him and you say, Jesus is Lord. Now, upon us, we may feel like, all right, I know about this. But let me just say again, this is the unsearchable riches of Christ. How much of this riches have you discovered? How much of it is like an old basic of the gospel? And how much of it, have you discovered any layers upon this? I don't know if you've ever done this, but have you ever tried this as a believer? Have you ever sensed like you're getting overpowered and defeated by something? But you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. Now remember that good news I mentioned from Romans 6, that we've been buried with him in baptism, but we've also been raised with him in baptism, so there's no need to go on sinning because your old man's been crucified with Christ. And now you actually have life, this newness of life to live by. So anyway, you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and if you believe that as a believer, you know that you have resurrection life inside of you. And so there, as you're getting defeated by something, and you feel under something, you just open your mouth and you confess, Jesus is my Lord. And as you confess, you are delivered. You're not saved from hell. It's not like you're first getting saved, but it is like a layer of the riches of the Lord that you confess Jesus is Lord. Sometimes you have to actually make him Lord over some area, and then you're delivered. And sometimes it's as simple as that, because all the hard work of the cross has already happened. I don't know everybody that's in the room, but I know there's a lot of gospel lovers in the room. And if you love this glorious good news, I don't think you would mind confessing Jesus as Lord with me. But I know just in case, because, you know, I said I was saved when I was learning about gospel preaching. And we're not learning about how to preach the gospel, but we are talking about something of this hugeness of the package. But if there's somebody that is not in the good of Jesus being their Lord, I just want to give us an opportunity. I think there's the belief in the room in all of our hearts that God raised him from the dead. I think the belief is right there. It's so easy. It's near your heart. There's another thing that's so easy, that at your mouth, you're able to just say, Jesus is Lord. It's right there. So I just feel like just this love for the good news, the love for the Christ, the unsearchable riches of the Christ. I feel like we will mine a richness of Christ even right now. He's so good. And he's our Lord. And we're meant to just bring all of our stuff to him. And if you have something where you even feel like Jesus is actually not my Lord, and I feel defeated in this, but he's put his resurrection life in me, and I believe that he raised from the dead. I believe it's possible. If you've got a sin you can't repent of because you think it's just impossible, do you believe that God raised Jesus from the dead? That's all you have to believe. If that's possible, then that life that raised Jesus from the dead will raise you out of this muck and mire and out of these sins to overcome and conquer these sins. And all that's needed right now is to believe and just confess Jesus is Lord. And he's even Lord over this defeat. So I'm just going to count down from three down to nothing, and we're just going to say, Jesus is Lord, together, if you're okay with that. Three, two, one. Jesus is Lord. Amen. And the Bible says in verse 13, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Everyone shall be saved. But then it says in verse 14, like, how shall they call upon him if they haven't believed? Now, we believe that God raised him from the dead. Hallelujah. We believed that. So we were able to call on him, and then whoever calls on him shall be saved, shall be delivered. But how can you do that unless you believe? The belief has to happen first. And how can they believe on him if they haven't heard? If you haven't heard the word, like, what can you believe in except if you hear the word of faith? If you hear the word of the gospel, this glorious gospel of the unsearchable riches of Christ. So, and how can they hear that wonderful word unless someone actually opens up their mouth and preaches the unsearchable riches of Christ? Unless someone opens their mouth and shares Christ, even the basics, like confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. That Jesus died on the cross and he was buried and then he rose from the dead and he's alive right now. Even those very basic things, if someone opens their mouth and shares that, then someone can believe that. And then they can call on the Lord, and then they can be saved and delivered. But then it says, how shall they preach unless they've been sent? And now, like, suddenly this whole cycle is like changed viewpoints. According as it is written, this is, I'm in verse 15. And then he quotes the scripture, how beautiful are these feet. It's kind of a strange verse, but how beautiful are the feet of those that announce the good news of peace, of those that announce the good news, the glad tidings of good things. Like, there's this person sent, and as they walk with those feet, like in Ephesians 6, where they're like equipped with the footsteps of the gospel of peace. These are beautiful feet. And God, according to his purpose from the ages, he has a work ahead of time prepared for those that are created in Christ Jesus to do these good works. And he says, share Christ with this person. And you go and you take your steps and you open your mouth and you share Christ with someone. You share this. Your feet are so beautiful. And it might be that you're just beginning and you just got saved, but you're able to say, like, this is what happened to me. I once was blind, now I see. Like, let me tell you what I've seen and heard. Like, let me tell you what I believed in and how my sins were forgiven. You have no idea what you're talking about. You just barely know that it happened to you. It's just like in the Gospels, they're like, somebody's, I once was blind, now I see. They're like, what's his name? They're like, I don't know, but I know what happened to me. It's kind of like that. But right away, like even the Apostle Paul, when he was first saved, he's able to turn around and share the gospel. But he doesn't even know much of the gospel. Later, now, he knows that he's sharing the unsearchable riches of Christ. But I can tell you at the very beginning, you have no idea what you're sharing. But you're sharing the unsearchable riches of Christ. And from God's perspective, do you know what he's sending you to do as you open your mouth in fellowship, or as you open your mouth to share? He's sending you with these beautiful feet to share the unsearchable riches of Christ. We have no idea what path the Lord has given to us, how glorious this calling is, that it can be embedded with all this talk about God's eternal purpose. Like, the flow of his purpose is meant to flow out of our mouths as we share Christ. I can tell you, I've never known this. I've been discovering God's purpose for some years now, and it is glorious. And from many different angles, and I just sit back all the time, and it's changed my life. But I see from the word, I see what happened with these guys in the scriptures, and I see what's been happening with many believers, even though we don't even know it. But what's happening is as we share Christ, that purpose from the ages flows right through us, and we become bearers and sharers of God's purpose from the ages, of the unsearchable riches of Christ. And let me just tell you, and I'm almost done. There's this verse that came to me right at the beginning. It's in Acts 20:24. This became like a life verse to me as I was consecrating and starting to follow the Lord. And there, Paul's about to go to Jerusalem. He's going to get hurt. He's going to get tied up. And prophecies were given to him. He knows what's going to happen. And everybody's weeping. And he's like, why are you breaking my heart? Like, he knows this is a place, a path that he's supposed to walk in. And, you know, this path led him to the jail where he's at, kind of the jail where he's at, where he's writing the book of Ephesians even. It led him all this path, and others were saved, and he's preaching. But he says in Acts 20:24, he says, I make no account of my life as dear to myself, so that way I could finish my course. Now, for me, when I first was reading this, it's like I didn't know what my course was, but I knew, like, God wants me to share the gospel, so this is my course. This is what I'm after. That's not a wrong thing. It's just like I'm just scratching the surface of the unsearchable riches of Christ. So I don't make any account of my life. I like give up old things. I give up things that would take me away from being able to do this. To finish my course and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus. Now, what is that ministry? What is Paul's ministry that he's received of the Lord Jesus? If I was going to tell you without knowing this verse, I would talk a lot more about his ministry to establish churches and build up churches and to write such glorious things to let us know about the insights of God's purpose. But he says the ministry that he's been given from the Lord Jesus is to testify the gospel of the grace of God. What is the whole ministry that the Apostle Paul has been given? Now, it sounds too basic for the Apostle Paul. But this is his course that he's trying to finish. Now, at the end of his life, he's like, I finished this course. There's a prize for me. I'm going to see him smile. He's going to say, well done, good and faithful, like in Matthew 25. Like, he knows this is his course. But what does he describe his course like? To testify the gospel of the grace of God. That just seems too shallow. So through the years, now, it wasn't shallow for me in the beginning. I was like, yeah, this is what it's all about. And then I'm trying to preach the gospel and make my life not higher than that and deny myself. And then I found, like, there's all kinds of cool stuff. And the course that you're doing is like we're being conformed to the image of Christ. And this church is going to be all glorious. And I see all this stuff is more. And I'm like, there's a higher calling than just testifying the gospel of the grace of God. And so almost, even though this is still my favorite verse, and through the it just keeps coming back to me, but almost I tuck it away. And I've hidden this verse. And it's still like, it's like a life verse for me, but it's almost like the Lord's whispered it and brought it back to me. I'm like, oh, the Lord, I'm finding out so much more stuff. My course is so much more. Like, and I don't understand it anymore. The verse that was like a big verse to me, I just couldn't understand it anymore. And then the Lord's opening it up to me afresh right now and just letting me know, like, everything is included when you testify the gospel of the grace of God. You are preaching the unsearchable riches of Christ. And I just own this verse right now. This is a course that I want. I want to let that unsearchable riches of Christ come out of my mouth. I want to finish my course and have the Lord say, you had no idea what you were sharing, but you were sharing it. You were sharing Christ. You were doing it. And all of us, this is just a normal course that God has set us on. It's the beginning and it's like the height. When you testify the gospel, this glorious gospel of Christ, and you testify the gospel of the grace of God, we are sharing the unsearchable riches of Christ. So I have just, again, been repenting. But it's like the Lord hasn't been condemning or convicting me. It's even like I was trying to repent. And like, oh, I just want to preach the gospel more. And I feel like I've just been neglecting this. And the Lord was just like, no. Like, there's no message tonight to convict anybody. There's a message tonight to call us to discover these riches. It's a message to call us to discover the riches even as we open our mouths and share Christ with others. Now, just a little odd thing that my kids have found me doing and is really fun is we've been answering our spam calls on my phone. I get a lot of them. And I've been sharing the gospel of Christ with some of them.
because I don't have that many gospel friends anymore. But you know what I feel even now, like when I just share, now sometimes I can't share with them and they hang up or whatever, but occasionally, maybe like out of 100, I've talked to like 3 of them that have actually seemed to like be open. But I'm just like, this is so wonderful just to talk about Jesus, just right now, just to be with you all and open my mouth. This is like a privilege to be in the room and all of us to share Christ together. And to, I just know like upon this room is the unsearchable riches of Christ. And this is what we're about. This is what we're about this weekend. This is what we're pursuing after. And the Lord is calling us to pursue him, to know him more, and to know him even as we open our mouths and we testify the gospel of the unsearchable riches of Christ. Let's pray together.
Lord, I just thank you so much. I thank you for the grace, the riches of your grace that's upon us. I thank you for these treasures that are in this room right now. Lord, I thank you for your heart that's breaking wide open for us as you've prayed for us, as you care for every soul in this room, that you're calling us and drawing us. And Lord, we delight to follow you. And Lord, we say, yes, Lord, we follow you. We come. And Lord, we say, here I am, send me. Lord, if you've got spot for our feet to be beautiful in, Lord, send us so we can be part of what you're doing, so we can be part of your eternal purpose, Lord, your purpose from the ages. Lord, flow us in this weekend, flow us in our lives into this work that you're doing, that you've created us in Christ Jesus to do. We worship you, Lord, and we bow down. We just say yes and amen, and Jesus is our Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.